Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan present Point Taken, a podcast connecting you to the sports and pop culture issues you care about and the guests you want to hear more from. Now, here's Carolyn Cameron and Greg Brady.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our final podcast of 2017.
It is?
It is.
What happened?
It's almost done. Time flies when you're having fun.
Actually, that's true. I'm not coming in next week, and you're not coming in. I think you have longer time off than me, though.
Yeah, when are you off?
I leave. Well, not the city or the country even, or Ajax. I leave Friday. Thursday's my last radio show, and then I'm not on again until January the 2.
Okay,
so it's my last show Thursday of 2017. That's
right. Thursday's my last show, and then I'm back for the show on the 3rd.
Okay, so that's a good chunk
Wednesday.
Of time off.
Yeah.
Plans, out of town, in town.
Yeah, home for Christmas, here for Christmas. I'm from Toronto. And then going to Vancouver and Whistler from Boxing Day till the 3rd.
You can't get enough out there. You cannot get enough of British Columbia.
Gotta
it
see
welcomes
my friends.
You back with open arms to the mountains. Will you see, John Cebulski, whatever, Jimmy?
Yeah, what's his name?
I forget.
Is
I always
Dave?
I always forget the Fallons and the Kimmels and the Cebulskis mixed up. They all have the same sense of humor.
Yeah, a bunch.
Same corny shtick.
Yeah, the guys I used to work with out there, there's 4 of us total, and we're all going to have lunch, so that'll be nice.
Oh, good.
I leave at 7 a.m. flight on Boxing Day. I feel like that's going to be a disaster.
On Boxing Day? Yeah, we flew back. Have you ever flown on Christmas Day? We did that 2 years ago.
It's bad.
Coming back. Well, we came back. It was lovely because we came back from a cruise and we were coming back from Orlando. Was it St. Pete's? Where were we? Somewhere in Florida we flew back from after going really quick 3.5-day trip with Rachel's parents and her brother and partner to the Bahamas. So there were 8 of us. There's nobody in the airport Christmas Day. There's a bad pun intended, a gun to your head. You don't want to travel on Christmas Day anyway, but that means there's stragglers. You might have a busier day. You're right about that.
Boxing Day is very busy. I think I've flown once on Boxing Day, and apparently I've just blacked it out of my memory.
My favorite work flight was flying to Minneapolis January 1st for a Lions-Vikings game the next day, but it was right after Y2K. So everybody was worried
that the world
planes
was gonna
would crash.
End.
And the, and computers wouldn't work, and we need to store a lot of bottled water and iodine. I don't know if that was the exact fluid.
Something like that.
Yeah, and everybody needed that in their basement because there'd be chaos. There'd be, it'd be like The Leftovers. There'd be people going up to the sky. There'd be dogs on the street. All of that. Did you ever watch The Leftovers? I'm sorry, that's a bad reference if you haven't
seen
it. It's really a complex.
I just let it go right over my head.
Complex. I don't think it was over or under. Went past you. This is our last podcast. Cassie Campbell is going to join us. We should mention for people who want to scroll ahead past the rest of our madness. And she's based in Alberta. She's been doing hockey night work for years now. I bet you she's a decade into it.
I think it is. I think it was 2006, I want to say, around when she retired.
Yeah.
So.
And she hopped on. And I think anybody would say this, and I'm going to tell her this. I think she has become awesome. It's hard to start awesome. So I don't think she'd take it the wrong way if I say, but you've really, like anybody would say this, you've really improved, but it's not meant like, oh my goodness, what was wrong with it? She's really, really good.
Yes.
And I think she's just soaring right now. And she's doing some color commentary and she's doing some between the benches. And not that it's not, look, you've done sideline stuff. I've done sideline stuff. That's all about making the most of a short period of time and color commentary or hosting or doing radio. It's a lot more, but she's done amazing work. I really thought she broke out doing the Sochi games and doing a lot of the men's and women's games. And I want to see more women on the men's games. And they let her do that. She was working with Mark Lee a lot. And I just thought she sparkled. And I'm going to tell her that.
She's fantastic. She has great stories, too. From when I've done those,
off air,
we'll see what stories we can get on here too. But
we'll let them know at the end if she tells us from
Hockey Day and different events when you do kind of the panels and she does it with Lanny McDonald and things like that, they start telling pretty good stories.
Yeah, a real trailblazer. She would have been one of the original Olympians back in '98 in Nagano when Manal Rayam was on that team and they lost. To the United States.
Silver.
In Japan.
Yeah,
that was a bad. That was a bad men's. My recollection of that is my first job in radio in Windsor and being up, just not feeling right again for another 3 weeks because of the time difference and because I wasn't used at all to early morning hours. I was probably the night owl that you are, where it's like, 1:30. oh, I might stay up for another hour or so. And now I'm like, if it's 11, there's like alarm bells go off in my house and sirens and fog machines and get to bed. But she would have been one of the real originators of building, I don't think just interest in hockey in Canada, but I would say around the globe, there's way more countries now that are better. The one problem, and I am going to ask her this too, giving away all my questions way early, is as other countries have improved, like the Swedes beat the U.S. in Torino in 2006 and mm-hmm. Switzerland's gotten good, but the Canadian and U.S. women are, she'd say this too, are much better than they were.
Oh, yeah.
They train harder. They work hard. They're better coached. They have video. They have nutrition. They were just kind of playing, and it's amazing the science that's involved in the and so that's the problem. They're exponentially better, and they're still kind of killing these other countries a little bit. So there is that when the Olympics come.
This is the best tease we've ever had for a guest.
We had Connor McDavid, and we're like, yeah, the Oilers guy. He'll be on later.
What's his name?
What can we say? He'll call in. He'll call in soon, we think. He'll be on.
We have a lot of. I'm going to the. We are recording this on Tuesday, so this is before I'm about to go head to the afternoon Leafs game. To celebrate the 100-year anniversary of the first NHL game.
Which is unbelievable.
2 p.m. in the afternoon.
It's
on a
very
Tuesday.
I feel my body clock, it starts in about, from where we're recording, about an hour and 24 minutes. So I'll keep my questions short for Cassie. I know you're worried about me. but I do, it is a very, you're used to the odd Blue Jays game. You're used to like some 12:37 games. It's a getaway. They're going on the road. They're playing the end of a series. You're used to those Canada Day games during the week. My whole body clock, and I've gone to Marley's games before when they've been at 11 a.m. For school kids and all that.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy for me. I get done the show. I can go do it and go down to Rico Coliseum. I have done that a couple times a year. This feels really super strange
Very
to me.
Very strange,
Does
yes.
it to you? And to you. You'll feel weird being there. Your whole body clock will get thrown off halfway through the game, I'm sure.
It's like I don't see movies during the day at a theater. It completely throws me off. I leave thinking it's bedtime.
Yeah, and you come out and
that's
it's
gonna
bright.
Happen today.
You come out and it's daylight.
Yeah,
well,
I mean,
it won't be
it
by
won't
the time
be
you're done tonight because of how late
it
is.
Yeah, the Leafs game's going to get out when rush hour is beginning. Very bizarre. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. I wonder what the crowd's going to be like.
Well,
I mean, it's going to be packed, but I wonder if the crowd will be different
than
usual.
And you're going with a fellow celebrity. Can I give that away?
Yeah, I'm going with Ivanka Osmak.
When does she become a... I mean, I know she's a very wonderful, nurturing mother, but I saw her out last night, and she's out this afternoon... Where's that baby? You've seen the baby several times.
Oh, yeah. He's the best. In fairness, last night was our office Christmas party.
Right.
It was very fun.
Yeah.
As we were saying, though, lots of people that we have never seen before because of our hours.
You exclaimed, not dismay, but surprise that I attended.
Yes.
And that was at like 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
what
but
kind
I
of hermit do you think that I am?
No, but
I live in the
to...
suburbs. I sleep at all hours of the day. I'm a little like a turtle. I go under into a cave. I come out.
I just thought you'd be home sleeping.
I know. I thought I would be too. But I wanted to go. And because I've been back with there are people that I haven't seen and they're like, welcome back. And I'm like, from what? The parking lot? But then you realize you haven't seen people in 11 months. And like you said, you see writing people here, you see other TV people, because you and I get into these routines and we probably see the same 12 people 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And then there's hundreds of people, like you noted, that were there. Like if they'd, maybe there was a fire code issue, but there were so many free food. It's amazing. Free food and two drink tickets draws everybody out.
Oh.
It's remarkable how that works.
Absolutely. Free stuff always.
Yeah. But to go back to the game, I think it's intriguing because you've gone to games and I've gone to games and the Saturday night crowd, and maybe it's just we all grew up, we watched Hockey Night in Canada. Saturday night always feels different than Tuesday. And yeah, there's usually better matchups. That's when you're not putting Carolina on a Saturday night here and you're not putting Montreal on a Tuesday night here. You're going to get the best games when Toronto hosts on Saturday night. But it does feel it's more nobody's racing from work. You got the day to plan. You walk around downtown on Saturday afternoon, right? People have the jerseys on already. They're going to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Going to the bars.
They'll go anywhere down Front Street, anywhere up Bay Street.
Grab food.
Exactly. And so I think today will have a little bit of a different atmosphere. And maybe because I went to a couple of the World Juniors games last year. And it's not the Leafs, but I went to like a USA-Russia game at 1 o'clock. I was cheering for the U.S. It's really, I mean, 2 months after, before Trump was even inaugurated, you're like, USA and Russia, what do I do? I mean, do I want a 0-0 tie? What do I do? And I ended up cheering for the Americans. But nonetheless, it is a different feel, and there's a ton of kids. I bet you, even though school's on, there'll be a ton of kids today.
Yeah, a lot of suits, though, too.
You think so? Just breaking out of there?
Yeah, I think going from work, yeah.
Because, and I don't know whether we'll ever get to... if people want to describe the apex of what a sport in a sporting day in Toronto was like, just the fact that there were so many of those ALDS and ALCS games during the daytime, because the U.S. networks do, I understand it. I know people, some people in Toronto and Canada are like, oh, the Jays are getting screwed. I'm like, if you ran Fox or if you ran TBS,
you would also,
you'd put the Yankees on at night because that's smart. I mean, people do that with, hey, why are the Leafs on and the Jets aren't? I wish I could help you, but if the Jets get really good, like Edmonton, they'll be on a lot and they'll be on the playoffs. So I think it'll be, I don't know if it'll feel like that because it's not a baseball playoff game, but I hope it's special. I hope it is.
Do you watch a lot of sports on Christmas Day?
No, and I don't. I covered a Lions game at the Silverdome in one of their last years there against the Denver Broncos, and I had driven back to London already for Christmas on the 23rd, but I agreed to pick up the assignment. It was probably, I probably needed the money. It was probably double time and a half or something like that. And I drove 2.5 hours, covered the game, and drove back home. And it was a 5 p.m. game, so I left at like noon, and I got back at 10, and I thought, I don't want to do that again. I kind of, even though I was like 28, wasn't attached, no kids, not married, I didn't like missing. I got home and Christmas dinner was over.
Yeah, that's but not fun.
Do you feel when, like, there's 5 NBA games on, there's always, all these World Junior kids are away, and there aren't games, but they practice.
Yeah.
And there's 2 NFL games. So I guess I feel for the, if you work at the stadium, you got to work. Like, if you work in Madison Square Garden, the Knicks play every damn Christmas Day. I have the all-time list of Christmas Day NBA games in front of me, and the Knicks have played, had it just now, they've played 51 times on Christmas Day, and they've played 38 of those at home.
Wow.
You're just going to be, that's where you're going to be.
And LeBron will always play on Christmas Day. And you know what, though? I find I do watch, I don't watch full games.
You
know how there's kind of lulls in the day during Christmas?
Absolutely,
right?
There
you open the gifts, and then you wait 2 hours, and then people come over for lunch, and you wait. So I'll probably watch a little bit. You know what Sportsnet's done? And I'm not just saying this, I like it because we work for Sportsnet. But they've, in past years, I think it's been the past two, I might be wrong, they've played old Jays games, like classic Jays games on Christmas. And my family's watched those.
And do you tell them who wins at the end? You know, already
know. Yeah, we already know.
There isn't the drama, but it's, but I haven't noticed them doing that before. I actually haven't.
Yeah. I also miss, when I was growing up, it'd always be between Christmas and New Year's. There would be, I forget what channel, maybe Spike or something. They would have a James Bond marathon where it was just James Bond movies back to back for a week. It's incredible.
Now, are you a purveyor? Do you enjoy A Christmas Story? Do you enjoy that movie specifically?
Because
TBS runs that, and they run that on a loop. So if you miss it, it's on again. And then if you miss it, it's on again.
It's not one of my favorite movies, but you know what I watched this weekend was Christmas Story Live.
I wondered about
that. Did you hear about that?
Now, Maya Rudolph was really talented, isn't that? But I didn't. What else have they done? They did a Peter Pan Live, and I remember flicking by it, and I'm like, it looks so weird. It might have been on Thanksgiving on NBC last year.
They did Grease Live, and they did Hairspray Live. I don't know. I find I watched it because I was thinking, how's this going to
Do you enjoy end? The live? Because I used to love acting. Do you enjoy the live theater? I would go more.
Yes, I love musicals.
Okay.
Yes.
But does it feel that way on your high-definition television?
No.
It doesn't, eh?
No, it's not the same.
Because they take
I didn't watch the whole thing. I feel bad. You're waiting for something production-wise to go wrong.
Live, how do you do the scene where the kid gets his tongue stuck to the frozen pole?
They did that.
Acting. That's a lot of, because the tongue is out of the, like, you're out for a long time for the 12 or 13 year old boy, and everyone comes in from recess, and he's stuck out there. And that was, that movie was around the time I was 11, and everyone just said that. They're like, you can't, the tetherball pole, the soccer goalposts.
Don't go near.
Yeah, like, it's truth or dare time.
My favorite Christmas movie, and it's one of my favorite movies of
Die
all time,
Hard.
Muppets Christmas Carol. Yes, have you seen it?
I think that I have.
It is. I'm not. It is a classic.
Is it a classic?
Now, the Muppets are the best.
Who are the live acting people? Like Jason
Gonzo's
Siegel was
the narrator.
Just in a recent one. Okay, 1992. I'm seeing this now.
Gonzo's the narrator.
But who are the real people? Michael Caine is Scrooge.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. He's a fantastic Scrooge.
I would believe
you
that.
You got to watch it. It's great. There's singing. It's a musical.
Well, I would expect. Yeah.
Fozzie Bear is Fozzie Wig. Sam the Eagle plays the principal of Scrooge's childhood.
I believe
that's the American way.
I'm seeing that the Swedish chef is in it. Yes. There's no question about that.
Swedish chef is, was the Swedish chef one of the ones asking Scrooge for money?
Is that right?
Yeah.
He also does, David Rudman does the voice of Swedish chef and rat. Mm-hmm. Is there a small rat that runs around?
Well, there's
that has
a bunch
voice?
Of rats. They all work for Scrooge.
I'm in. You sold me, you had me a Michael Caine. And hello. Like, I would like Michael, yeah, Michael Caine would be.
The Muppets are the best.
I'm sure the offer came across Michael Caine's table, and he's also like, puppets, how much? I mean, there's a price.
But it's the Muppets.
I know, but there's a price. You're not doing it for, it's not a charitable entity to be in, to play Scrooge in the Muppet Christmas Carol. It's not like they'll just get somebody else and pay him less. So take, you know, Michael Caine probably negotiated a hard bargain. That's my guess.
I think he read the script and he thought, this is a script I can't refuse.
He fell in love. We'll talk about that a little later on, too, because we've both thought that was interesting. Something about the, speaking of the Olympics, the Lillehammer Games and the Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan movie and Margot Robbie, who got nominated for a Golden Globe. People say she's going to get nominated for an Oscar. I know you're still devastated Emma Stone didn't. I don't know. Did you see the Billie Jean King movie? Did we ever talk about
yes,
that?
Yes, I saw
it. We previewed it.
Yeah, it was good.
I still haven't.
It's not the... Don't even really need to see it again.
I don't feel like you love. You love tennis,
it.
But I don't feel like you love a tennis movie. Like you wouldn't have loved Wimbledon with Kirsten Dunst.
No, I did love that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's not good tennis. You know she can't play.
It's awful.
You'd kick her butt.
It's awful, but I love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're very excited to have our next guest on. Part of Hockey Night in Canada. We mentioned it earlier, and yeah, almost my heavens, 20 years ago. From where we're all going to be watching the Pyeongchang games, Cassie Campbell would have been in that part of the world in Nagano with the rest of Team Canada. And we welcome Cassie Campbell in. We were just recalling how the last gold medal game, obviously, had amazing drama to it and the amazing comeback. Whereas on the men's side, and I know you did some men's games, it was just Canada was so dominant. That Mike Babcock coach team was not going to lose to the U.S. or Sweden or anybody else. But the drama was on the women's side.
Yeah, that women's game was ridiculous. But, you know, it's funny. The game wasn't that great until, like, the last 5 minutes. And then Canada kind of poured it on, and they scored those two late goals to tie it and then score in overtime. So it was, like, pretty ridiculous that last 5 minutes. But I don't know. I think it's Canada, and I think our men's team, once people, the tournament starts, people are going to be watching, people are going to be excited, and it's kind of going to bring us back to the days when kind of no-name players would go and becomes like, you know, Paul Kariya kind of, you know, people knew mm-hmm. who he was, but like he really elevated himself and Corey Hirsch really elevated his name. So I don't know. I think there's going to be some good stories on the men's side too.
Do you get nervous watching the Olympics?
No, but I cry. Like you know what I mean? When I'm at home and watching the summer, like I remember watching when my first Olympics, when I wasn't an Olympian anymore, I guess you're always an Olympian, but when I wasn't competing, it was 2008 and I got to watch Carol win, the wrestler win gold at home. And I was sitting on my couch completely by myself during the day and was bawling like a baby, like, you know, and I kind of miss those moments. Like I kind of, you know, you miss when you compete at the games, you actually kind of miss watching them. You know, you miss watching the stories and all the great things about the athletes. And so, you know, as much as I'd still like to be 25 again, I think, you know, I really enjoy watching the stories about the athletes. And I miss that part when I cover the games and when I, you know, when I'm watching or I'm competing in them.
Who are the two or three players that you would have played with internationally that, and it might have been prior to the games adopting women's hockey in 98, you got to be part of that team. Obviously, you know, full credit to the U.S. They win. You guys win the next year. You guys win, or the next 4 years. But it really, it opened people's eyes to the competitive nature. I'd watched the Worlds two or three years prior to 98, but there must have been women that you played with who just missed that window. And if you had been a decade older, it would have been tricky as well. You were born at a great time to be an innovator and be a trailblazer and get in on all this. Are there women you always think of and you're like, they didn't get quite the Olympic experience I did, but they certainly deserve to have?
Well, my parents planned it that way. So I was really fortunate.
Smart move. Very smart move.
But yeah, but you know what? Like for me, like I think of people like, you know, Carol Cooper, who was a great defenseman that I played with, and she was older than I was and, you know, never really kind of got that opportunity to go to an Olympic Games. And, And then, you know, I hear about women all the time who come up to me and say, oh, you know, we just didn't have hockey in our community and it would have been great. And, you know, I would have loved to have gone, and but I wasn't allowed to play and all those types of things. And, you know, that's what makes the generation just before me so special, because they, you know, like the Franck St. Louis and the Sue Shears and the Shirley Camerons and, you know, names that not everyone really knows. I mean, France probably, for those who followed women's hockey, they definitely know her, and same with Sue Shear, but, and Shirley Cameron for that matter, but most people probably don't know those names. And yet those were the real pioneers. They played for nothing. They played, you know, just because they simply loved the game. And then, you know, the national team kind of creeped up, and some of those players got a chance to just do 1990, that first ever world championship. Mm-hmm. And you know, but that was kind of it. But yet, though, that so that group, though, is pretty amazing to all of us, because they really paved the way. I mean, they grinded through thick and thin to get the game where it was. And, you know, they got a bit of a reward in the early 90s with the world championship starting. But, you know, they were, with the exception of Franck St. Louis, they were kind of really out of that Olympic generation, if you will. And I think that's what makes the 98 loss sting for those of us who were a little bit younger that year, is that, you know, that was France's last chance and Stacey Wilson's last chance. And, you know, I still have this vivid picture in my mind of them standing on the blue line with a silver medal. And it pains me. And I, you know, I wish I could have been better and tried to help change that result. But it is what it is. And I know I learned a lot about myself. But I regret that moment that they didn't get to experience a gold medal at the Olympics.
I feel like when people talk to you about the Olympics, they probably focus on the golds in 2002 and 2006 as highlights. But for you personally, was there maybe one moment over your Olympic career that really stands out?
You know, it has nothing to do with the national team, to be honest with you. It has everything to do with playing at the University of Guelph. And we won a championship in 95. And, you know, back then we didn't really have national championships. It was more provincial stuff. But, you know, I played on a team of Guelph Griffins that I was the only national team member. And we played against the University of Toronto, who I think had like five or six national team members on their team. We beat them in the final 3-2. And our goalie, Jen Dewar, was amazing. And, you know, a good friend of mine, Sarah Applegar, she scored the game-winning goal. And you know, I remember scoring a couple goals. And just our, you know, Liz Duval was our captain. And just everything. It was just so much fun. And, you know, to be able to compete all year and train all year with these girls and go to school and be silly and be crazy going to university and then to win a championship. Like, honestly, that's one of my most favorite memories. And, you know, it's right up there with the national team stuff. And you know, a lot of people kind of, they don't remember that us little Guelph Griffins won that one year, you know. You know, they've been so close ever since, but just haven't been able to win the national championship. And we kind of took them as far as you could go back then.
When you look at the U.S. winning the last, I see the highlights now. There was a good chunk of a game on that that my wife and I watched. She's covered a lot of women's hockey for the Globe. And we watched the game in Plymouth. And I thought it was the first time Canada lost where I thought, because of the United States struggles and because of what they fought for and what they did, you know, again, and there's little girls watching that 11 and 12 going, yeah, sometimes you got to risk something and stand up for what you believe in. I was good with the United States winning. When that happened last April, what was your reaction to sort of the controversy around it, the risk of them not even being at their own, you know, hosting world championships and then them coming together? You're not pulling against Canada, but the result was almost, you didn't want either team to lose based on what those women had gone through.
Yeah, well, I think the pressure that they were under, and, you know, I'm fortunate. I feel like I'm friends with Megan Duggan, who's their mm-hmm. captain, and she's a little bit younger than me, obviously, but, you know, we have talked on many occasions, and I just know what she went through behind the scenes and, you know, people pulling her in different directions. And, you know, that team could have really folded and caved and just gave in to USA Hockey. And they all stuck together, not just that team, but the whole program, from their under 18 players. You know, everyone said no when USA Hockey asked them to play at the World Championships. And so that was a huge stance. And then to play under all that pressure and to perform, you know, I think that was, you know, really amazing for their program. You know, as a fan and as a Canadian, it's not fun. I mean, it's not fun to know that, you know, we've lost, I think, what, 7 of the last 8 world championships. And it's, you know, I know the Olympics have kind of made up for it, but it's not fun for me as a fan and as an alumni of the team to mm-hmm. sort of accept that. And, you know, we're all texting during the games, like, did you see that? What's going on? And get her off the ice. And, you know, we're just like total fans with each other. But for their program, it was wonderful. And, you know, now I think for them, the real pressure's on. You know, they got pretty much everything they wanted, and it's an Olympic year. And, you know, I believe if they don't win this year, it's a huge, huge disappointment for their program. And especially because they finally fund it, they're finally caring about it. And, you know, to not be able to get the result you wanted, you wonder if it goes backwards again. And, you know, we saw that sort of with Finland and Russia. You know, they funded their programs the last Olympics, and they finished fifth and sixth, and Russia ends up getting disqualified. And then you hope, oh, well, they finally put money in the program, they don't get the results, so are they going to cut back again? And, you know, we need these federations to step up in a big way, and we're lucky to have Hockey Canada. It's not perfect, but it we're really lucky to have their support.
I want to talk a little bit about your broadcasting career, because if you could even kind of take us through that day in 2006, in October, I think it was, when Harry Neal was snowed in at his home in Buffalo and you got the call.
It's snow in October?
Yeah.
Was it really? So no wonder he wasn't ready for it.
I know. I didn't have any shovels out of the garage. But you know what? He literally had to drive home in the middle of the night and to be at home. And, you know, and I think we all can understand that's extremely important, and that should have been his priority. But he hadn't missed a game in like 25 years. And, well, there I am. And I was kind of the beneficiary of it, I guess. And I didn't find out till that morning. And it was probably the best thing, because you don't really have time to think about it. But I have to be honest, that's what I have always wanted to do, was to do color, because that's the most natural thing for an athlete. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just get to talk hockey. And I had already done women's games up to that point, so I knew what buttons to push, and I knew the general things to research. And it's a little bit of a different mindset than when you're hosting. And but my initial concern was Bob, you know, Bob Cole. I said to our producer, Shirali Majek, I said, listen, is he okay with it? Because if he's not okay with it, I'm not interested. Like, it won't be a good team if he's not okay. And I guess he accepted it right away, and he was really great to me. And but it was stressful. And, you know, the next week was stressful, and more so for my dad, who lives in the Toronto area. I live in Calgary, so I don't get to hear the noise, which is sometimes really great. And, you know, a lot of Toronto media, radio, they didn't like it. And it was, you know, it was difficult to hear a woman's voice. I get it, you know, for the first time ever. And and for me, I think the pressure was that if I make a mistake, it reflects, like, who cares about me? I embarrass myself all the time, but it reflects on my sport. You know, see, girls don't know what they're talking about. She doesn't know hockey. And so that's the kind of pressure I was sort of under. And I put it on myself. And then my poor dad had to listen for the whole week people rip his daughter, and he's driving to work in his car. And so he finally calls me, and he's like, you know, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, Dad, why? What's going on? And he's like, well, people aren't very nice to you around here. And he was like so disappointed. And I just said, Dad, don't worry about it. It comes with the territory. And, you know, they don't understand that I literally found out last minute, and mm-hmm. it's new and it's change. And, but it was a night of my life, and the whole crew was just amazing. And Bob was amazing. And, you know, I've been fortunate to get more opportunities with CBC after that. And now this year's a real big opportunity for me with Sportsnet. So this is what I want to do, and I hope I get to stay.
Well, and it's really tricky with broadcasting. Like, before I worked with Rogers, I worked at AM 640, and so people would call up and go, hey, who do you like better, Jim Houston or Chris Cuthbert? And when you explain it, and you go, you sound like you're sitting on the fence. You're like, those are two fantastic play-by-play guys,
yeah.
and every network has them. So it's sort of like, hey, who's I said this on our show this morning. There's this list of the best 25 captains in NHL history, and when you go, that guy's ranked too high, that's an opinion, but you're going, you feel, hey, Nick Lidstrom was only there 5 years. Why is he ahead of Dennis Potvin? Or why is he ahead of Mario Lemieux? And you feel like, and everyone's like, why do you hate Nick Lidstrom? And you're like, no. And you realize early on when you're having to be objective and when you're having to be critical, people will criticize you or me or Carolyn. And that is the really, it develops, you develop thick skin in a real hurry about it. And I said this earlier when Carolyn and I were going to have you on. I'm like, you've improved a ton. But everyone does. Bob Cole doesn't call games like he did 40 years ago. Jim Houston doesn't call games like he did his first 6 months. How did you do it? Did you do a lot of it yourself? Did you listen to some people can't listen and watch themselves, but they do need other people. It's like getting coached in golf. It's like getting coached in anything. You remember the bad shots more than the good shots. How did you really strive to get better at it?
Well, you know, all I have is hockey knowledge, and all I have, you know, I never went to school for this, and you know, I'm very fortunate that I get access to some really fun stories. And, you know, when I was hosting, you know, some of the things that I got access to and players would tell me and coaches would tell me, and I'd be like, hey, can I say that? And they'd be like, oh, no, no. Or they'd say, yeah, go ahead, you know. And you know, but I all I have is I work hard. That's all I have. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a polished broadcaster per se. And I'm, you know, I've got sort of this hockey language thing going on where we barely can speak and have a conversation like this, let alone say something quick in 10 seconds or 15 mm-hmm. seconds. And that's all I have. And I know I work hard. I know my producers believe I work hard. I know that my colleagues respect me, and I think that's all you can ask for. And, you know, I ask Kelly Rudy for advice all the time, and I ask Ron, and I listen to Craig Simpson, and I, you know, I listen to all the other analysts, Louis DeBrusque, and mm-hmm. I, you know, pick up little things here and there. And but I watch a lot of hockey, like a lot of hockey, and I love it. And, you know, I do have my own opinions, and I know that, you know, we're lucky in our job. We have one of the only jobs you can ever have where you get to share it with people, mm-hmm. you know, and that's we need to remember that when it's hard and when you get criticized, that's only because people love the sport. They love it. But what does bother me sometimes is on Twitter, like, listen, like, critique me for my content. I have no problem because you deserve to have an opinion as a hockey fan in this country. But I get critiqued because of my gender, and mm-hmm. there's nothing I can do about it. And some of the sexual stuff that is just, it's over the top, that I just pray these people don't have daughters. That's the stuff that I think we need to get rid of on Twitter. And, you know, I've never tried to block anybody, but I went to go do it once. And then you have to explain, like, other instances. And I'm like, really? Because this one isn't enough, you know? And so I just don't even bother. I don't block people. I don't, you know, you see it and you just kind of laugh, and you look at it and you look at their timelines and everything else, to who they're cutting up. And but I think we have to understand, as people who get to talk about sport, we get to share our job with the nation. And that is amazing. And not many people can say that. And that opens us up to criticism. And I think we have to understand that, you know, people love sport, and in particular hockey in this country. And
yeah.
And it comes with the territory.
Well, I'd say that's well said. And you see, you should hope they don't have sons or daughters. Cause if someone who,
good point.
As someone who had a great dad, and really tried to be very open-minded and progressive, but my kids are 11 and 9, Cassie. They don't talk, they're better talkers than I probably was on the playground. I mean, it's just different era, and I'm better than my dad was. And we generationally, there's just that evolutionary process where I think it'll turn. I think this has been a big year, as we all know, for it turning and saying, just explaining something away because someone's in power, just explaining something away because somebody's old and set in their ways and old fashioned. That doesn't work anymore. It doesn't. And it doesn't fit with the modern aspects of social media. That's for damn sure. I was going to say, on another side, I did think color commentary wise, I thought you really came into your own during the last Olympics and doing both the men's and women's games and jockeying back and forth between the two. You did a lot of games with Mark Lee. Did you even look at that? And can you be as self-critical to say, I felt a confidence. I was brimming with enthusiasm. I did the work. I put it in. I knew what kind of stage it was. I thought that was a huge 2 weeks for you as a broadcaster. I'm not trying to be your agent, but I really did. I thought that was great.
Well, you know, I think reps is key, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the Olympics, you're doing 3 games a day. So it's like the reps are boom right there. And, you know, I'm in a situation now where, you know, when I signed my contract with Sportsnet, it was 26 games. You know, I can only do 1 game a week, and, you know, I need to be home. And then we've kind of rejigged it this year where I'm only going to do 17 games. And I understand sometimes that when you do less games, you know, you're not necessarily going to get better. So I try and watch even more, and I try to sort of do color as I'm watching games, and what would I say there? And but it, you know, I'm balancing, like so many other men and women, just family life. And, you know, my husband works for the Flames, so he travels a lot, and his schedule has changed over the last 4 years, so we're juggling that. But, you know, I just try to, you know, the more reps you get, it's obviously going to be better. And I thought the Olympics, you know, working with Mark Lee and my teammate Jennifer Bottrell, it was amazing. And the reps were key. And then when they asked me to do radio for the gold medal game, I was like, are you kidding me? And so here we go, you know, and my husband was with the national team at that point. And, you know, and I was kind of hoping just to be a fan, to be honest with you, to be able to watch him be successful and then to have to do radio. It was wonderful. It was a great opportunity, but, you know, that was quite an honor to be asked to do that. And I was, you know, pretty excited about it.
So give us a few seconds on each of the four, Western teams. You're watching them a chunk. You're going to be, in Anaheim, on the 29th to do a Flames Ducks game. I think I'd set it up by saying Winnipeg looks great. They might be they're really fun. And I think that's the team almost all of Canada can get behind because they haven't been around long enough to tick anybody off in a rivalry or a playoff series. We don't have that out east, as you well know. And the two Alberta teams and Vancouver, obviously, there's so many injuries with the Canucks. It kind of estimate how the temperature of each of those fan bases is starting out west with the Canucks.
Well, you know, I think Travis Green, he's my nomination for Coach of the Year right now. And I know they're in tough with just all the injuries. And I don't think they were a team to begin with that could afford to lose anyone. But the way he had them playing as a team and you know, Brock Besser was unbelievable. And you know, they were getting decent goaltending. And now that's kind of slipped a little bit. And maybe when they need their best goaltending, this is the most critical time. And they kind of haven't got it lately. And, you know, I don't really see them kind of making their way back up again. But I think Travis Green has just done an amazing job there. And, you know, Edmonton just surprises me. Like, I still believe for some crazy reason they're going to get into the playoffs because I know it's almost an impossible task at this point, but they just are too good to be this bad, you know, and not kind of get the bounces. But, you know, you look at last year, they got every bounce. And, you know, there is this thing as hockey gods who remember it. And so this year they're just not getting the bounces. But I don't know, some reason I don't want to count them out yet. I just have this feeling they're going to have a great run here in the second half. And then the Flames, you know what? They played a great game on Saturday, and they lost 2-0 to Nashville. Yeah. And they've been playing some of their best hockey lately, and they just haven't really been getting the wins. And but it's a group that really hasn't been consistent. They've been good at times, but they've yet to put together a great stretch, you know, a great 10-game stretch. And so they're kind of due here in that second half. And it'll be interesting to see how busy this second half is with the GMs and the trades and different things. And you know, the pressure in particular that are on these Canadian teams in Alberta, and then even in Winnipeg, you know, what do they do to kind of put themselves over the top to make a long run in the playoffs, if anything? And but I got to tell you, I covered the Winnipeg series against Anaheim a few years back when they were back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they got swept 4-0 by Anaheim, but that place was nuts. I mean, it was hockey mania. I couldn't even hear Ron McLean talking to me in the opening. Like, it was so loud. And, you know, they have a smaller building, but you'd never know it.
And imagine, they were already down 2-3 in both games, which is incredible. They fell behind every game. They were down in the series, and those fans still respond. Because sometimes you go to a market, as you guys both know, and you're down 3-0 and 3-1. It's kind of a funeral already.
Yeah.
Like, you're ready to bury your season, right? And they didn't feel that way in Winnipeg that night and those two nights. I absolutely remember you being there and being that part of it, yeah.
It was even when they lost the fourth game. I mean,
right.
They got beat 4-0 in the playoffs in the first round. And, like, it was still loud in there. And, you know, I remember speaking to Andrew Ladd, who was the captain at the time, and the injuries that they were dealing with. And, he still wouldn't admit it. And but, you know, Anaheim was just ridiculous. And Ryan Kesler, who's public enemy number one of every team he plays against, he was just unbelievable in that series. And but it was a good learning process for them and some of their younger guys. And, you know, this is a team that I think finally cleaned up some of their defensive zone woes. And I know the goaltenders often got a lot of the criticism, but they're playing better defensively this year than they have in the past. And I think that's allowed them to be the offensive team that they've been.
I'm just impressed that they've played so well still in such a tough division. Because I think that was the concern. They had a good end to the year last year and they started playing like themselves, but it was kind of too little too late. But the fact that they're keeping this up, considering who they're up against, is pretty impressive.
I know. Yeah, the Chicago's and St. Louis and all those teams. And and this is where this second half, you know, this is really crucial time here for Winnipeg because it can tend to be a bit of a lull after Christmas for teams. And, you know, they've got some young guys still on their teams that are key guys like a Scheifele and, you know, like a Laine and Ehlers. And so can they keep this consistency up? Can they continue to push their game to this next level? And you know, this next month is a crucial stretch for so many of those teams that, you know, like the Chicago's, even though they're not the Chicago Blackhawks of past, I mean, they've got guys in that team that know what this time of year is about and have been through it and know that this is a crucial time to step up. And so we'll see if Winnipeg can hang on here. And I think they will. I think they've kind of gotten over that hump, but this next month is crucial.
Well, Cassie, thanks so much for coming on.
Yes.
Have a very Merry Christmas. Enjoy your time off and keep up the great work. Honestly, it's great. It's great hearing you do the color. And I'm with you. We'll figure something out to get those bums off Twitter.
We will.
Yeah, no.
I hope.
I hope.
Merry Christmas to everybody too, and you guys. And you guys are great.
Thank you so much for doing this. We're obviously very, very pleased that the season's gone well for you, and we wish you a Merry Christmas.
No, you guys too. Thanks. It was a pleasure to be on.
I'm really looking forward to the Olympics. I feel like people are just starting to kind of look ahead and think, okay, here it comes.
I'm not there
just
yet.
A month and a half away.
I'm not there yet. What do you love the most that you know you don't watch? I mean, is the obvious one figure skating, or do you watch figure, like the world championships are on? You don't, eh?
No. I don't know. I just love, and it's like what we saw in the last Olympics with Penny. I love those stories where you don't see them coming. Mm-hmm. You don't know who these people necessarily are. And then all it takes is one day, and then you're waiting by your TV to watch them compete every day.
But I think we all have a little bit of bated breath. I mean, Cassie's able to mention the women's hockey, I hope, takes a tremendous stage. Not that it ever gets truly overshadowed by the men. Look at last Olympics, the overtime comeback on the U.S. women was one of the best sporting events that I've seen.
Yep, that was, I think for sporting fans, it was I remember where I was watching being like, this is not happening.
Because you'd recall in Sochi, and you were in Vancouver at that point, Toronto. You were still here.
Yeah, Seagull and I were here.
Yeah.
Because we had.
Andrew and I did some crossovers with you and James.
Yeah.
For those in that's not something illegal, by the way. That's a term in the business. but we'd talk, and Canada would, like the men, there just wasn't any drama.
No.
They barely beat Latvia. That Friday afternoon, people were like, okay, are the Americans going to give them a good game?
No.
I mean, they didn't. And then Sweden was a fait accompli on the Sunday for the gold medal game. So it's, what, they give up 2 goals in 5 games? There was just no drama. Like Vancouver, there's drama. Because they get thumped by the United States on that Sunday afternoon. They switch from Berdur to Luongo, and you don't know. I mean, the margin for error is just really, really slim. And they pound the Russians. Everybody's very worried about the Russians, and they beat them so badly in the quarterfinals. But there always seems to be something. And yes, it usually breaks down to Canada and the U.S. Of course it does. But you know you're getting a great game. You're not going to see a 5-0 game between Canada, the Canadian women and the American women. Look how great the United States won a really exciting game in Plymouth. Remember when they went on, they were on strike, basically. They weren't going to play that tournament because of the unfair wages and conditions from USA Hockey. So it always has some drama, and it always has some fascination. And I hope it's a big part of it, because I don't know how I'm going to feel yet about the men and the hockey.
Me
I don't
neither.
Know how it's going to connect with me. I hope it does.
Same. Yeah, the tricky thing, too, I mean, with the hockey, with the NHL not being there, that's the obvious part. But even in terms of the time change for watching the Olympics,
big time,
that's going to make things complicated in terms of, especially for hockey this year, for trying to get on board.
If it was the best on best, and we said that earlier about Nagano, then, and Canada's playing the U.S. in a quarterfinal game, you're up at 1:30.
Yes.
Are we doing that for preliminary round games against Belarus? I don't know.
I don't think so. I'm not sure.
I'm not 100% sure. This is our last What Up With That of the
calendar
year.
Hey, you remembered what it's called.
Finally, it took 27 episodes, or less than, or more than.
Okay, I was going to say that's a made-up number.
I think we should, we should start the next year and be like, this is episode 116, and people be like, wow, that's been around. Like that, it's instant credibility. It adds to your numbers. Not that it's like Twitter followers, because that doesn't matter.
That's how the world works now, though. If you believe it to be true, then it is.
So I saw something I've never, I walk into a establishment sometimes as a younger person, and now where I am, not an old person, but an older person, and I think, what do I want in a, I guess in a pub, in a bar? I want quiet. I like anonymity. Like if I walk in and there's that mechanical bull, I'm probably leaving. I don't know where those are in the city of Toronto, but that's not really my thing.
I don't think there's a lot of them.
You know? Quebec City, I walked into a bar once, and it was a wild Thursday night, and I was younger. And I saw pillow fighting. I don't know what it was. It was a ring, and it was mostly men doing it. And they are clothed, but but they are cranking each other with pillows, and there's feathers everywhere like a movie.
That's bizarre.
And I didn't know whether, like, are they recruiting people? Are these people, like, how...
I'd get the heck out of there.
Like how Brad Pitt was a legitimate fighter in the movie Snatch, or Tom Cruise in that Far and Away movie where he met Nicole Kidman. I know you've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
You like those romantic... There aren't that many romantic Tom Cruise movies anymore, to be perfectly honest. But so the pillow fighting threw me off. I saw this and I shared it with you. And it is, you go to a bar, you meet some friends, you haven't seen them in a while. And this is in Brooklyn. And the bar is called Kick Axe. And it offers 10 axe throwing ranges.
They have that in Toronto, you know. It's not a bar. Mm. I think you have to bring your own, it's BYOB. You have to bring your own booze.
Okay.
But you go... And you throw, you're just not allowed alcohol right where you're not allowed to have it in your hand while you're throwing the axe. I've never done it. It looks very fun. I want to do it.
I think it would release some tension. A 75-minute axe throwing session costs $35. How many throws do you, like, you're not one person throwing by yourself. You must share it. You're like, hey, me and seven friends are going to go and we'll all get about seven or eight throws
and and you try and hit the bullseye.
Uh-huh.
I like bars. There's now, again, we're based in Toronto, so there's not now the Rec Room.
I don't know what's in there.
It's down by the Rogers Center, so there's tons of different games. It's like an arcade.
Okay.
It's like Dave and Buster's, but for adults.
Yeah, that's good, because Dave, I'm assuring you as an adult, Dave and Buster's is not for me. It's not my first choice. I like making my children happy, but it's not my first choice. It's a little bit of an adrenaline rush. It's a little bit of like getting... you know, sugar, raw cane sugar poured down my throat.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Maybe you should try Rec Room.
But the axe, and I love the table tennis bars. That would lob right into your, no pun intended, territory. Like, spin is great. You've been there?
That's fun.
I can't get enough of that.
I just like good old pool, too, at a bar.
That's right. That works also. So it's, it's in New York. It's called, what did I say? It's Kick Axe.
Clever.
I get it.
How long did it take them to figure that out?
But I guess now a more popular competitive sport, and it's a more popular recreational activity. And it's obviously fenced in. You're not going to be sitting there on a first date and an axe is going to whiz past your
head. You definitely, though, sign your life away on a waiver.
You do. Yeah, you got to do the waiver thing. Just like archery. Yeah, you would.
So for the box office, this summer was one of the worst years on record. People were saying there just weren't good options. People weren't going to see movies because there weren't the big blockbusters. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was Wonder Woman, but other than that... there weren't great movies coming out. So they're hoping to make up for it over the Christmas holiday. Because usually over the holidays, that's when the big movies come out. The Oscar
buzzworthy sure,
movies.
Sure.
So of the movies coming out, what are you most excited to see?
I will attempt to see I, Tonya, I think. I will. Because the story's always fascinated me. And I really liked Nancy Kerrigan. People sort of dumped on her afterwards. I still think we're lost in the whole narrative of it, and forgetting that she had to recover in a huge hurry and skated phenomenally and ended up getting a silver medal at the 94 games. I think we're lost on that a little bit, that she pulled that off. I don't know why, but that's how that feels to me a little bit. So I don't know. I think that's out. You mentioned a movie with the guy, Hugh Jackman, the Australian person.
The Greatest Showman.
Right.
It looks very good. It's a musical.
Tell people.
It's a musical.
Well, now you need to sell me on it more because you mentioned it was a musical.
Honestly, I've just seen the trailer and there's just a lot of dancing and singing. And I'm like, yep.
That's enough for you?
But yeah, with Hugh Jackman, of course.
That's all it takes.
And I watched James Corden's, what is it called? Sidewalk musicals, where he goes with the cast on a crosswalk.
Okay.
While the lights change, while the light's red, and they perform. And then when the light changes, they run off back to the sidewalk.
Now, we saw this too. We both saw that Tonya Harding told Post Media that I feel like maybe the quote's a little out of context, so I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. So Margot Robbie's 27. Tonya Harding is 47. Margot Robbie would have been four when all this happened, the knee clubbing incident with a bunch of weird men involved who were all later arrested, and Tonya Harding was never. But she heard a quote, "I didn't know it was a true story. I had never heard of Tonya Harding. I knew nothing about the figure skating world." And everyone said, I mentioned that on Twitter, and people were like, come on, she's 24, and she's 27, and she's from Australia. And I go, yeah, I know,
but you Google.
She applied for the role. Like, I don't feel like... Sylvester Stallone doesn't think Rocky Balboa was real 20 years
ago.
I know. I can't. I mean, you suspend your reality with films, but this is basically a movie based on an actual sporting, like the Jackie Robinson movie, like a few others.
I was young. I don't remember it, but I know the story.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I don't get. If you're getting a script, don't you Google?
And I'm sure by the time she filmed, I bet you she knew.
Well, yeah, I think it was once she started researching, she thought, oh.
She may have gotten the role before she knew.
Maybe.
That's possible. I mean, Kevin Costner knew that when he did JFK, he knew that was all, that had all happened. That's a hell of a fictional story, even though there's some fictional elements with the Oliver Stone movie. But it didn't make sense to me. Didn't make sense. Hmm. And now it does, because she knows now.
I haven't even seen the trailer.
She's getting a lot of Oscar buzz. She got a Golden Globe nominee, and Time said she's one of the 100 most influential people. And Martin Scorsese wrote a big essay. Like, I think she's a real breakout star. She was in, like, a Tarzan movie and played Jane, but it wasn't your conventional, like, damsel in distress. She was a really, really strong character, and I watched it with my family. I loved it.
Those Time influential people, aren't they just getting paid to...
I don't know. Are they?
Yeah. Don't you think that the production company probably is making sure that she's making
I get. No, you're pushing forward to get the person, like how people buy ads.
Yeah.
And they want that the film nominated and that actress and that actor. There's always a push. I mean, look, DiCaprio finally won for The Revenant, but they pushed it really hard. The studio didn't say, this is it.
Oh, yeah.
This
you campaign.
This is his time.
Yep.
He sleeps inside a dead horse. After falling off a cliff.
Spoiler alert, I haven't seen it.
Okay. See, this is also...
I'm actually not in a rush to see it.
The internet is really, really troublesome for me this week. More than usual, because I don't want the Star Wars film spoiled. And someone's going to. I think it's like trying to keep in the dark about a sporting event. Like, I could say to you, don't say anything about Toronto, Carolina, and I'm going to wait a week and watch it on DVR. And people are going to be like, what? Someone's going to... Well, you work tomorrow morning, so that's going to be really, really difficult.
I've still never seen Star Wars, so...
No, I don't. Gonna... I don't... And I feel like that ship has sailed.
No, I'll watch it one day.
You will. There's eight films now.
Got a
you
lot
have
of
a
movies
lot
to watch over the holidays.
You do.
Have a great holiday, actually,
I will. I think it's perfect. It's Christmas holidays. I love it. I don't like Thanksgiving as much. I don't like Easter as much.
I love Christmas.
And you're going to Vancouver, where they have a lot more snow right now than we do, although we just had all ours melt in the last 24 hours. So have a good trip out.
Thank you, and enjoy your time off.
And a happy new year.
See you next year.
And thanks to all our listeners, and we'll see you in the new year.
You've been listening to Point Taken with Carolyn Cameron and Greg Brady on sportsnet.ca/590.